Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
You are listening to WARN Radio. Today's show. Don't forget to check out our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Greetings. Welcome to today's show. Sorry about that intro. I don't know if it's coming clear to you or not. I had some trouble with that particular one. I'm going to be working on a new intro. I did have some older ones and stuff we've had for a while, but we're working on them, so we're trying them out. But we're having some problems with this particular one. It has to do with some of the equipment we were using. At any rate, today is Friday. We're heading on into the weekend and Shabbat and everything. And of course, today the news hit that a mosque in Australia was hit by a group of people. I haven't really been following a lot of the news, but more than likely they'll probably find out a bunch of whites did it. And the media will be all over that, and all the liberals will use this as an opportunity for gun control, and there will be those that will hate whites even more than they already do. It was this week it came out, USA Today came up with an article about whites polluting the air to breathe for all the blacks and the Hispanics. You know, it's unbelievable, the knuckleheads that are running major news organizations today. I mean, they don't got a lick of sense about them. And, you know, you might as well pile every sin in the world upon the white race. Of course, that would be foolish, and that would also be untrue. And when God comes, he will prove you wrong. Because sins are an individual matter. And it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the heart. For the things within, that proceeds from within you, defiles a man, not the color of your skin. And of course, there are those who never want to get beyond the slaves. When you actually look at the amount of slaves that were there and the amount of blacks that would like some kind of payment for that, which is ridiculous. At any rate, this is society today, but I deal with issues of judgment and sin. That's what I do. And we have people that like it and people that don't like it. And over the years, we've been doing this over 21 years, and we've been specially called to this time to produce and give forth a message, and that's what I do. And whether we're on two websites, one website, no websites, we're going to be preaching and teaching the Word of God, and we're going to be telling you about the judgment to come. And tonight, of course, we are talking about Habakkuk, one of my favorite prophets, embracing faith. It's a good lesson, and it is a good warning, and it is a good comfort. As far as the world, to be honest and look at everything, we've been reporting on Christians dying every day, killed by Muslims and Muslim extremists. Most of the time, your main news will never cover that. Only the advocates and those particular websites and news like CBN would cover such a thing. Your main news, CBS, ABC, NBC, and others would never cover it. Christians dying by the bucket load over in Nigeria at the hands of Islamists. Every day, entire families, farmers wiped out, Boko Haram and the Fulani. And then, of course, we get into Pakistan. We have Christians every day that are persecuted for their faith. Some of them, many are in jail. China has been imprisoning. They just got done imprisoning Wang Yi, one of the, you know, the head pastors and leaders of the Covenant Rain Church, which is one of the largest in China, imprisoning 100+, including kids. I think the total is up to 300 now. Does the main news cover that? Nope, not a lick. They don't care. Christians could die till the cows come home, and they won't cover it. But you have this thing in Australia, they will cover it. And they will be outraged, and they will blame the whites, and they will blame guns, and they will blame everybody, except where the blame lies. The blame lies in the teaching of Islam and in the hearts of men. Now, there are peaceable Muslims. There are Muslims that want to know who the true and living God is. But there are also many, many, many who are waging war, and major leaders like Erdogan and, of course, Persia or Iran are all pushing for a worldwide caliphate. And we have Muslims in Congress now, actually in the House, and pushing for Sharia law in America. They push for it in Canada. They push for it in the UK. The latest figures we have is 11 Christians every day are getting killed and murdered for their faith. Every day. And I do not like to see anybody getting murdered since, at all. None of it makes any sense. Let alone people in a mosque. But the bottom line of it is, there's a lot of blood on the hands of Islam. And I can hear him say, well, Christianity has a lot of blood. Not like Islam. Nevertheless, when we start pointing fingers, the fingers point back to us. All of us. Christian, non-Christian, whatever faith, whatever race. If you're a human being born of flesh on this planet, you were born into sin because the human race fell at the hands and because of the results of what happened during the time of Adam and Eve. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Now, one day, the Lord God is going to come, the Almighty, who is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, as has been given to him to judge. And it'll be at that time that the recompense will be made. Nothing will be hid. And justice will be served. And you're not going to make it because of Islam or because of Muhammad or because of a Hindu god or because of any kind of a Buddhist god or anything else. You're not going to make it because you're good and nice and perfect. You're going to make it only because you have received the Son of God, Yeshua. That's the only way. It's not my gospel. It's the one I preach. This is what the Lord says. And this is the battle. It's plain, it's simple, and it's the truth. Now, whether you believe it, you have to make up your mind. In the end, you will find out. But until then, God is calling you to repent and to receive his Son. For the Lord himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. 1 John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 1, he went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 3, you must be born again by the Spirit, he told Nicodemus. It's up to you. Meanwhile, you are living in the last days, and I cover a lot of this. We're in our Revelation series on Thursday night. You can find them on our websites at warn-usa.com, also danaglennsmith.com. You can also listen to us on many avenues, really, a lot. But you can also find us on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We got iTunes. We've got a lot of different places that this thing goes out through. So we are living in a time that can be very perilous and very disturbing. Habakkuk. According to scholars, with all of our books and research, there's not much known about Habakkuk. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is one of the best resources there is, said that more than half the book has been denied to the prophet Habakkuk. And there's really no valid reason for rejecting that he did write it either. But the message in the book is what we're talking about. It's kind of interesting when we talk about Habakkuk. There's a number of legends surrounding the prophet. And you can find one particular one in Bel and the Dragon. That's located in the Apocrypha. Bel and the Dragon, 133. Let me read this. Now there was in Jewry a prophet called Habakkuk, who had made pottage and had broken bread in a bowl and was going into the field for to bring it to the reapers. But the angel of the Lord said unto Habakkuk, Go carry the dinner that thou hast unto Babylon, unto Daniel, who is in the lion's den. And Habakkuk said, Lord, I never saw Babylon, neither do I know where the den is. Then the angel of the Lord took him by the crown and bare him by the hair of his head, and through the vehemency of his spirit set him in Babylon over the den. And Habakkuk cried, saying, O Daniel, Daniel, take the dinner which God hath sent thee. It's interesting because if we look in the New Testament, especially in Acts, Philip was carried away. We see a lot of things in the Old Testament happen, but also you get in there and you can see that God has a power that enters into the here and now. So if we think on Habakkuk for a minute, and if he prophesied about 600 BC, then he lived under King Jehoiakim. The pious and well-meaning Josiah, or Hosiah, had been slain in an attempt to stop the advance of Egypt against Assyria. Now, of course, Hosiah had J-O-S-I-A-H in the English, had a lot of good reforms. But he got killed when he went up against in the midst of this battle. And of course, with his death, the brief era reform came to an end. And after a reign of 3 months, Jehoahaz was deposed by Pharaoh Necho, who placed Jehoiakim on the throne. And selfish, tyrannical, and godless, in a short time, the deplorable condition of Manasseh's reign returned. And of course, Hosea had brought a lot of those things to a halt. And then he got killed. Good king got killed. And of course, it's here where we find Habakkuk. And we'll get into that. Because Habakkuk found himself in this type of world, and of course, we're speaking of Judah here. Now remember the Jews. Whenever we think of the Jews, we think of Judaism, we think of well-mannered, we think of a nation that God had revealed himself to, a nation that God had delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh in Egypt, and a lot of stuff out of the Torah that many people were taught in Bible school. Actually, in our Bible, it's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And a lot of stories, Joseph, Moses. And so it was in Judah, where these same Jews, their forebears, that's what happened to them, but when their kin, this has been years and years and years later in Judah, after the division of Israel into two houses because of the sins of Solomon, Judah was depraved, to say the least. And God ended up removing the temple, the priests, the prophets, everybody. And I always tell the Gentiles in America and anybody else that'll listen, if God judged Judah and they had, the Lord's priests, the Lord's prophets, the Lord's word, the Lord's law, and the blessings of the Lord on Judah, if he removed them because they fell away and the blessings removed and became a curse, they were sent into Babylon, for 70 years. Jeremiah was the prophet who was raised at the time to give the major message. So if God would do that, he would definitely judge other nations, especially America. And of course, Manasseh had brought Judah to a moral and just absolutely devastating end to serving Yahweh because of all the idolatry and the other things that went on there. And that kind of thing passed on down. So, in Habakkuk 1:1, the prophet says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you of the violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity, he says, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are those that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceeds. Now see, we're not in the time of the law as they were. We're in the era of grace. Christ came to fulfill the law, and he did. And I've gone through this a lot. But today we are in a different covenant. But the Lord never destroyed the law. He fulfilled it. But in the time that Habakkuk was, there was the law that was supposed to be going on within Judah. And they weren't keeping it. Not only weren't they keeping it, the priests were serving other gods as well. So was the prophets. There was total iniquity going on. And there was violence and everything else going on. So Habakkuk got tired of seeing what he was seeing. Do you ever get tired of the violence you see around you? Look at America. Do I need to spell out the abominations that we're doing in this country? Of course, those are only abominations if you really believe the Word of God and are really into it and understand. But to many other people, it's a right. I have a right to do these things. I have a right to be this way. It's all about rights today. It's not about morality. And when you talk about absolute truth being the Bible, there is none today. People don't believe it. Now, believers do. Christian believers believe that the Word of God, many of them. Of course, there's pastors that don't even believe that now. And even within the Church of Jesus Christ, the Christian Church, you're going to find wrong teaching. Mitigated by the sins that are found within the church and the lusts of the flesh. For a preacher who's caught up in adultery, he's not going to be preaching against sin. No matter what that sin he fell into is. He can't deliver you if he himself is not delivered. A prophet can't deliver you if he is full of sin and iniquity and rebellion. He can prophesy by an unclean spirit, but he can't deliver you. He can't help you. He can't give you a true word. We look at the division in America. We look at the bloodshed going on around the world. We see various things that have come out. 2014, 2015, when ISIS went through the Middle East and virtually slaughtered, raped, and pillaged their way through the Middle East, destroying the whole swath, removing entire foundations of believers and churches that had existed for hundreds of years. We see ongoing persecution throughout the world, as I've mentioned. And it's not just Christians that are dying. There's a lot of people that are dying. There's a lot of problems. And even in America, there's things that are going on, but nobody equates it with morality or with repentance. See, we don't do that today because we're too smart. Habakkuk was sick of what was going on. He wanted it stopped. I get sick of what's going on. And if you say you don't, then you're a liar. I'm sorry, that sounds tough, but that's the way it is. You look around, these are perilous times. And the only way for them not to make you sick is if you do not believe the word and you're not living in the real truth that governs the salvation of your soul today. And God is shaking the world. He said he would shake it. There's going to be tribulation like you've never seen it. Great tribulation. The wrath of God tribulation. So the question then remains, what do you do when a nation's sin is so grievous and so obvious that it needs to be repented of, but the nation won't repent? What do you do? As Paul said about the vexation of the soul because of the sins, what do you do when, as a righteous person, your soul is vexed daily? Actually, that was Lot seeing what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that was vexed. Paul said, perilous times. Love of many waxing cold because sin and iniquity will abound, the Lord warned. How long? In one of my articles I wrote this week, I think it was this week, I quoted one of our forefathers in the, actually going back, and I'm talking about who founded America, helped write the Constitution. One of the quotes, he says, I fear because I know that God's judgment won't sleep forever. One of these days, the judgment will arrive. One of these days. Even Israel didn't understand that. And so what do you do when the judgment then is issued on the nation that you're living in, where the sin is, where the grievances are, where it is so bad that God sends judgment? What do you do when you're living in that nation at that time when the judgment falls? Now see, during 2014-2015, when ISIS went through, you can say, why did it go through at that time? It just did. Yazidis were slaughtered. It was a genocide against them. They took hundreds of Yazidi women captive as sex slaves and also sold them. One young Yazidi girl had been raped so much she couldn't even pee and wanted to kill herself. She was finally rescued. Christian women and Christians were killed, women raped, used as sex slaves. Not too long ago, they had a woman that was quoted on Instagram who was a Muslim wearing a covering, who was defending the Quran. and the men who do such things to women, saying that if you're an unbelieving woman and are not a Muslim woman, these men have a right to rape you and humble you and use you as a sex slave. No, they don't. No, they don't. Nobody has that right. But see, this is what they live by. And so when they went through there, there was a lot of Christians, and their churches were destroyed. They lost everything they had. And it still isn't back. When we were covering the Kobani, when the Kurds were fighting against ISIS, the Turks, instead of helping them, stood up on a hill with all their stuff because Erdogan hated the Kurds and didn't trust them, so they wouldn't go help the Kurds. Matter of fact, there was over 60-some percent believed ISIS was a true caliphate at the time because of a poll that had come out. And of course, there was others that came to help the Kurds, including other Christians and even Americans. And in the end, ISIS was defeated and ran out of there. But what they left was a mess. And what they left when ISIS was finally pretty much stopped in Iraq and Syria was entire villages that were brick by brick torn apart. There was no water. There was nothing left. The churches were totally destroyed. It was a mess. It still is. So what would you do if you were there? You would have a lot of questions. So when we deal with Habakkuk, we're dealing with the point of a prophet who did no wrong, who is being surrounded by all this sin and iniquity and the problems, and it bothers him, and he doesn't want to behold him anymore. He doesn't want to see the spoiling and the violence and all the strife and the contention because of the sins of the people. He wants it straightened out, and he wants them to stop it, but they won't stop it. So he goes to the Lord, and Lord, how long are you going to cause these things to go on? When are you not going to listen to me? When are you going to do something? So the prophet saw iniquity. Specifically, we look at wickedness, idol worship, unrighteousness, unjust, coming with vanity, pride, grievance. This is a wearing effort, like worry, whether in body, mind, it's a travail, it's heavy. Spoiling, plundering, can have a lot of connotations here. Ravage, desolation, destruction. Violence implies a wrong by unjust gain. This has to do with money and pride and violence and bloodshed. Strife, as in a contest, personal or legal adversary, contention, they come against one another. A quarrel, discord. And of course, the law here, the Decalogue, the Pentateuch, the moral code that God had given the Jews was no longer even considered. They were morally bankrupt when it came to what they should have been doing. I'm here to tell you that America is morally bankrupt. The West is morally bankrupt. And I'm here to tell you that even the Muslims are morally bankrupt. Because also, no flesh is going to be justified by the law, whether it's Judaism or whether it's the Quran. The law, Sharia law. You're only going to be justified through faith in Christ. That's it. So you look up and you want to know, God, what are you going to do? I'm tired of this. We see bloodshed everywhere. We're sick of the blood. We're weeping over the blood. We're tired of the bloodshed. We're tired of the violence. We're tired of the division. There's no revival. If you're talking about Christianity, there's not much of a revival going on. And yet we have people all the time in the churches. And you can see them posting all their high fluffy stuff saying, oh yeah, we're having a revival. Well, the problem with the revival in American churches in today is it doesn't affect society. Even Billy Graham, who I respect a lot, and his son Franklin, for all the preaching and everything that Billy Graham did, America departed from the Lord. It wasn't Billy Graham's fault. He was there. He preached everywhere. He was on everything practically at the time. But it was the people who didn't want to listen. You can talk all you want to, but if the people won't listen, it doesn't do any good. And there comes a time when the people won't listen and God is forced into judgment. Now see, the biggest part of this, though, folks, is not the fact that Habakkuk was so upset and wanted an answer. The fact is, Habakkuk had a right to feel that way because that's the way it was. You know, and you're living today, if you're a Christian, your soul is going to be vexed. It's going to be troubled. That is what it is all about. And many times God uses this in a Christian's life to draw them closer to Him. Because all that external pressure of hate and division and troublesome stuff pushes in on the Christian believers and their families until they either just give up or they draw to the Lord. And they find solace in the Lord, and that's where the Lord wants you, in Him. So if you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible and you believe in biblical values, today's society around the world is going to bother you. And if you want to keep apprised on the persecution of Christians worldwide and what's going on, listen to our advocacy broadcast on Wednesday nights. Habakkuk 1:5, the Lord says, behold you among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously. For I'll work a work in your days which you will not believe though it be told you. Now see, this is the thing. This is the scary thing. I'm going to work a work that even though you see it, you won't believe it. See, a lot of people in America don't think America would ever fall. Recently, of course, we passed the abortion stuff. You can kill a baby outside a mother's womb. The LGBTQ, you know, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer agenda. I mean, they're going after children. Been doing it. We've been raising our kids twofold more of the child of hell than they themselves are. And most of the children didn't even know that. That's why it's important for you to raise up your child in the way he should go. Then when he's old, he won't depart from it. For he says in verse 6, for I'll raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. You thought radical Islam was something. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians. They were terrible. And they had their own gods, you know. This is. And when they went through the land, they possessed whatever they wanted. They took whatever they wanted. They raped whatever they wanted. They ate whatever they wanted. They murdered whoever they wanted. They took whatever, everything. Just no respect. They don't care. For everything that is in the land was theirs. For if Judah was not going to respect the Lord and serve him, then his blessings would be gone, and then the curse would fall upon them because they did not serve the Lord. And the blessings on America that made her great and the God that blessed her only will go so far. And after that, this nation will be given over. And all this stuff over the border, you have people pouring over the border. More than they've ever had. We've had more people coming across the border recently than we ever have had. Democrats don't care. The Republicans join with them. Of course, the Republicans are notorious for being gutless. They don't stand for anything. And the Democrats will never get budge on anything, and they stay together even if they're wrong. So you have a divided nation, and you have a president who stands alone practically, except for those who voted for him. You got the whole nation in an uproar. But the key problem in this country is sin. And the biggest sin in America is pride. And that pride has allowed Americans to be sinful and totally reject anything that God would call an abomination. There's no fear of God, no fear of his judgment, no fear of death, nothing. And when a nation reaches that, God will find somebody and send them through there. That will take everything you have. I'm not preaching this, teaching this, to tell you that America's falling. I'm trying to make this clear to you that what Habakkuk was facing was detrimental, and what the Lord was going to do was also even more detrimental. And see, it's in this conflict, the prophet who has a problem with what's going on, and then all of a sudden he has a problem with the solution. What's God going to do? Well, he's living in the land. He's, you know, and he knows people. He knows people that are probably serving God at the time, and families and kids, and God's going to do this because he knows, as a prophet, he knows what the Chaldeans were like. Their fame, their reputation, dear God in heaven, you didn't want anything to do with them. So that's the conflict. It goes on to say, their horses are also swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen shall spread themselves. Their horsemen shall come from afar, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them, and they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, and imputing that this power, that his power is unto his God. So these are people who serve a God of war. And much of this stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, it describes a lot of the Islamic extremists that are killing Christians around the world because they scoff at the kings, they scoff at the authority in the countries they're in. These people, now see today we don't use horses, but when you put this in today's thing, someone coming in would be well equipped militarily, and there will be no mercy. That's what this amounts to. They will kill, they will murder, they will blow up, they will take, they will eat, they will rape, they will murder, and they won't care. And in the end, they will rejoice and have a feast in the name of their God and impute the victory and all the spoils to this God. Now that's exactly also what the Antichrist is going to do. Actually, I say Antichrist, the beast, because he will be a God of war as well. If you were standing at the edge of Judah looking out and you saw the Chaldeans and their armies, it would scare the hell out of you. Unless you were a true Old Testament prophet with the power of God to call down fire upon them and destroy them. So this is the solution. And many people, you know, consider when I tell them about judgment on America, well, is America that bad? Well, look at North Korea. Isn't he much worse than we are? And they pick out other nations. Well, they're worse than we are. That's not what this is about. Judah had forsaken the covenant of God. So they're cursed. America was blessed of God in the beginning. And you might think that it's just because of the devil or somebody else that put America together, but I got news for you. This God, this great God, put his stamp of approval and blessing on this nation. And we have had tremendously powerful revivals and moves of God in this country. We had a time when a man's handshake meant something. Were we perfect all the time? Of course not. Israel wasn't perfect all the time. But yet God's blessing remained. Well, God's blessing is not on America anymore. But in America, the ones who can retain his blessing and look to him are his followers. And when he judges America, and you're living here, you're going to have to deal with this the same way that Habakkuk is having to deal with it. The same way. Now in Habakkuk 1, 12, and 13, this is what the prophet says. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, you have established them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Wherefore do you look upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Interpretation. You're righteous, Lord, and you can't look on judgment. You see the sin and you're going to judge it. But why are you using people, a nation, that is more wicked than we are to judge us? We are more righteous than Babylon. Why are you using them to judge us? They're more evil than we are. We don't do what they do. And he says, and make men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Now see, this is describing, these are metaphors describing I'm going to have to close, stop here. For some reason, we got all... We had to stop, unfortunately. Still having trouble with this. So at any rate, I just won't have a video for this one, which is fine. I'm going to, that's a whole other thing. But at any rate, let's get back to this. He's talking about Babylon or the Chaldeans. Like you go out and you have these huge fishing trawlers, they use a big net and a drag, they throw this thing out and then bring it back in and use the equipment and heavy stuff, and they get all the fish in the sea and the ocean. They go through them and throw out the ones they're not supposed to have. But here, the Chaldeans don't. Just like going after fish or going after anything, you do what you want to do, you take what you want. And after you're done, you sacrifice unto your net. You sacrifice unto your technology. That's what we'd be doing today. It's because of our technology. It's because of our armies. It's because of our smarts. It's because we have so much knowledge. It's because, we're going to reach the next evolution of mankind. That's what we do today. We do the same thing. And this is what Habakkuk is talking about, the Chaldeans. They sacrifice under their net, their ability, the thing that got them all that. And they'll empty their net or their spoils, rejoice what they get, and sacrifice to their God for giving them the victory, and then they'll go out and find another nation to pillage. And this is the argument that Habakkuk is making. Why are you going to use someone more wicked than ourselves? And then he gives an example. These are people that go out and they invade a nation, kill and gather up everybody and pillage and take everything they can. And when they're done, they sacrifice to their own God. But see, Habakkuk already said, he said, you're the Lord, you're the Holy One. See, there's a difference there. He's talking to the Lord God. The Chaldeans don't do that. That's what Habakkuk has a problem with. He says, we're really not where we need to be, and it has been bothering me, but Lord, why are you going to use these people to do it? Well, because when he uses the Chaldeans, that's it. that's going to take care of the whole mess. The problem's going to be done. He's going to send them into captivity for 70 years as a lesson. They've already lost their one country, which was Israel, at the time when Solomon was ruling, and God divided that because of the sin of Solomon and him falling away from the Lord. David's son fell away from the Lord because of the women. 300 wives, 700 concubines. More wisdom than any other man on earth, and he fell away. Many of the Jewish writers believe that he repented. I don't know. So Israel became Judah and Israel, the northern tribes, and Judah the southern tribe. And then both of them wound up going into captivity and got scattered, and now you have a little remnant of them in the Middle East trying to hang on there. Now you see, in this though, that's what Habakkuk wants to know. Why do you give quarter to someone that doesn't even acknowledge you? Why do you allow them to judge us? Why do you allow them? See, and that's going to be a question even here in America. Why, God, did you allow this to happen in America? In the beginning, did we not have the Bible in our schools to read? That's the only school book they had sometimes out in all the prairies where they were trying to teach their kids. They had the Bible. They had them read it in class so they would know how to read. A lot of our top colleges were former colleges started by evangelists and Christian pastors and Christian people. Now they're all secular. Heresy begins at the top institutions of your religious institutions, your seminaries. That's where you find it begins, is up there. So now we're going to be, and this will be next time, we're going to be at the point to where Habakkuk is going to be keeping his watch. Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to sit right there until we get an answer. Sometimes we just cannot sit still. So that is Habakkuk's dilemma, and I got news for you. It's going to be your dilemma too. It was a dilemma, really, for the Christians in the Middle East, in Syria and Iraq. And not just Syria and Iraq, the same thing's happening over in Nigeria. For a long time, Nigeria was a good place for Christians. They could have churches, had no problem there. And now with Fulani and Boko Haram, both of them slaughtering Christians right and left, you have Buhari now in his second term as president who does nothing. He's a Muslim as well, and he's also of the Fulani. These people are dead set on killing every Christian there. And you get into Pakistan, you get into China, you get into a lot of places, and you see this worldwide. In America, Christians, you better draw close to the Lord. Because if you think that God is going to be moved not to do to you what he's done in the past, you got another thing coming. The nations that do not know God will be turned into hell. The little bit before that verse, the wicked and the nations that do not know God shall be turned into hell. Proverbs. And there's a lot of verses on the judgment of the nations. God is going to require it. So today, you're in a dilemma. God has an answer. Make no mistake about it. Habakkuk's name means embracing, and it refers to embracing faith because of the answer that comes. And even the Apostle Paul picked up on it. Embracing faith. Folks, your battle is the Lord's, believe it or not. Yes, the Christians in the Middle East got slaughtered, but the battle is the Lord's. Yes, you have people dying, it's perilous, but the battle is the Lord's. And so we have to embrace that faith, and we'll talk about that next time. Because we have the same situation here, and I'm going to give you the bottom line faith. When you can't get pushed anymore, where do you go? It's called your bottom line faith. Now, I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Warren-USA.com, DanaGlynnSmith.com. I write articles, I write books, and we preach and teach. We've been doing this for over 21 years, and before that, well, we go back into the 70s. The first time that the Lord told me about what was coming to America was well before 1973. My friends, this is important. But God wants people to repent and avoid the wrath, and he wants believers to draw close to him. Father, we thank you for this day and for this word. We ask that you'll bless your people, Lord, and be with them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. I'll see you next week. Shalom, everybody.
The Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America.
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows, so we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at bmwnyc.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.